feel like I'm out of my mind. Every day, 6 Australians die from suicide.
Suicide, as you know, is the biggest killer.
So in 2015, HIT started the conversation.
Living Hot on the Hill was the biggest ever conversation about youth suicide prevention and mental health issues in the history of Townsville.
HIT the Hill was created.
It had to be a spectacle in order for people to stop down and listen.
A 24-hour challenge to reflect and remember.
Still struggled.
He thought he was ugly.
And 24 hours to have a conversation that we struggle with every day.
We need to get real about it. Suicide should not be a taboo word.
You need to put your hand up and let people know that you're struggling.
Let's keep the conversation going as we hit the hill.
Why suffer with this problem? You tear a muscle or you fracture a bone, you go and get treatment for it.
Hit the Hill is not just about walking up Castle Hill.
Events like this, my body aches and it hurts so much, but it's nothing compared to what someone who is struggling mentally could be going through.
It's not just about raising money.
We've raised over $140,000.
It's about having a conversation that could save a life.
Don't want another mother to go through the pain that I'm going through.
It's okay to not be okay.
I was in a really dark place.
You wake up in the hill. You go to sleep in the hill.
Hit the Hill 2018. Presented by Telstra Stores Townsville.
I struggle a lot.
Feeling like my life is going nowhere, that I've got nothing to live for.
The amount of kids in Townsville that's taken their own life is unbelievable.
Follow HIT on Facebook and Insta and use the hashtag Hit the Hill to join the conversation.
'Cause I will leave the light on.
This is Heads Up on HIT 103.1.
Hey, we're Cliffo and Gabby and welcome to Heads Up.
For the next 60 minutes, along with Luke Lum and Carly, we'll be having a wide range of guests share their experience with mental illness, as well as advice for anyone who may be affected in any way by depression and anxiety.
This program does contain sensitive content, and we do recommend that parents listen with young children and monitor the content if they feel it is all becoming too much.
We also recommend that listeners utilise the services available if the content is particularly upsetting for you. Lifeline can be contacted at any time on 13 11 14, the Kids Helpline on 1800 55 1800, or on the available online chats through the respective websites.
Next, we'll take a look inside Townsville's Mates for Mates, the sole beneficiary of Hit the Hill 2018.
This is Heads Up on HIT 103.1.
Our first conversation is with Mates for Mates, the sole beneficiary of Hit the Hill 2018.
We chat to Dennis Devantia, the North Queensland General Manager, to find out what Mates for Mates is and how they help bring the suicide rates down with ex-servicemen and women.
Dennis, suicide amongst ex-service personnel, rates, they're too high.
Yeah.
Have you personally been touched by that?
I've had mates and mates of mates that have been touched by it. I guess you can't sort of operate in this cohort or this community without feeling that pain or being touched by it. Even if we don't actually personally know the person, they're a part of our extended military family. So I guess that's where a lot of us sort of get the majority of our experience with it from.
So how long has Mates for Mates actually been running, and why did it get started?
So in Brisbane, we kicked off a bit over 5 years ago, and that followed a year later with the Townsville Family Recovery Centre. And our third one is based in Hobart, which we found to have another, I guess, large cohort of ex-military people based there. So we set up a centre down there. We initially came on the scene, I guess, to be a really good link to that younger soldier, and that was really the main driver from the RSL Queensland initiative in creating us and getting us off the ground and continuing to support us. Ironically, we're all ages here, though. That's what it sort of turned out, especially locally in Townsville. I've got 18-year-old members and I've got 85-year-old members, so I kind of like how that's turned out, because it's a good mix of age and operational stuff and life experience, so it's really good.
What are you dealing with here on a day-to-day basis at Mates for Mates?
Yep. So we're not a crisis centre. People don't ring us in lieu of Triple O or any crisis sort of help that they need. We sort of sit Before that, we provide 5 different services to our members and our family, and I guess that's where that's our holistic approach to a lot of health and well-being ailments that they might have, and mental health and well-being being one of those. So it's through delivery of psych services and counselling services, physical rehab and social connection activities, rehabilitation, adventure training, and also assistance with employment and education. It's that approach that I guess for us is our suicide prevention that we're doing. We don't purposely go and conduct particular activities or have particular services that are solely dedicated to suicide prevention. It all yeah. helps. There's not one that does more than the other.
So you're trying to reach these people before it gets to that crisis stage.
Absolutely.
Have you seen any cases where you can see your work done so well that you can see that you've helped these people?
Look, definitely. They are, for me personally, there's some standouts that I've seen, especially when we first opened. So examples of a gentleman who took 5 or 6 attempts to drive into our car park. Once he achieved that, he tried coming into the centre, and then when he finally came in, there was no eye contact with us at all, and just grabbed the paperwork that he needed and left. And now, years later, I know this person and I see him in here, and he will heckle me from across the centre, and you see it's a physical change as well, which is a bit that was the bizarre thing for me. Like, we helped him psychologically, but it physically changed him as well. He walked with more purpose and more confidence, and that one really stands out for me, I think, because it was very early on for us and we weren't sure what to expect when we first opened, and just that car continually coming in and no one getting out was something that I remember sitting out the front thinking, what's going on there? And to have that turn into that is probably my go-to that I always think of.
Yeah, I'm really getting a sense that you guys, and this might sound a bit corny, but you're not just changing lives here, but that you are potentially saving lives.
I feel really funny when we think about that. I think it's easy for us to do this work, especially those of us that have that military connection. So, you know, it's corny to say when you're enjoying work, it's no longer work. But a lot of the time, that's how I know I feel, and I know I've got staff that feel the same way. I'm uncomfortable with we're changing and we're saving lives. We're just sort of doing whatever's needed, and it's obviously that effect's coming with it. But it's it's very gratifying work. I really like it.
Dennis, if there was someone listening to this right now who, you know, may or may not be an ex-service man or woman, someone who is, you know, struggling with mental health, maybe even considered suicide, you know, someone who's in a dark, dark place listening to this right now, what would your message to that person be?
Good question. I think I always come back to, as hard as it is, you need to ask for help and you need to put your hand up and let people know that you're struggling. And that's very easy for me to say sitting here today. I know that's extremely difficult for some people at some point of their life, but you need to make those people around you aware of what's going on so you can then be helped to access the help that's around you. So it's definitely speaking out as the person who's suffering, but then there's a role we all play around that person and our friends and our family and colleagues, and that's the "Are you okay?" message, really. That's so broad reaching. Mm. You need to be able to be confident to ask someone how they're travelling and be prepared to have what could be a really uncomfortable, really awkward conversation with them about them, but you need to be able to ask as well.
If anyone does want to contact Mates for Mates in order to get involved, what do they do there?
So locally, we're at 40 Ann Street in Aikenvale. You can either show up here if you need help or want to help us helping our members. You can call us on our local number, which is 4771 9600, and just reach out to us.
This is Heads Up.
In Townsville, we're really lucky to have many mental health services to help ourselves and our loved ones when they're in need.
Yeah, and Selectability is a location featuring multiple services to keep mental health in check.
Carly caught up with Aaron Farrell, Operations Manager of Selectability Townsville.
What can people gain from engaging from Selectability?
We are a mental organisation, not-for-profit in Townsville, and I guess our services really focus on giving the right support to everyone that can live the life that they want. And that's important when we talk about mental health, is people having choices and understanding that there are people that and services like Selectability in our community that can really help that well-being of life. And Selectability, we run connecting care programs where it's individual support along with group. We have our clinical side where psychologists, GPs that can really guide a person through their recovery process, or just to keep that maintaining that well-being.
We are going to touch on more of those services later. We'll branch out into those a little bit more, but can we just start with, how do you start a conversation with a loved one who you think may be struggling mentally or even with your own self?
Yeah, I guess identifying it first with yourself is always important, that everyone's mental well-being requires that care and identifying yourself. So when you need to do exercise, when you need to be able to debrief with someone around issues that are happening in your life, that is very important to do that yourself. Actually take time every day, 5 minutes, and do a well-being check of yourself. Reaching out to someone is as simple as having that conversation and asking, are you okay? What's happening in your life? Do you want to talk to me? Being the first person to ask that question is very important, and feeling that you're comfortable to do it. We do it with our family, we do it with our friends. I encourage everyone just to ask that question. How are you travelling today?
Aaron, earlier you did list off a few of the in-house services that Selectability do offer. One that stood out to me when I was on the website is you actually have your own in-house GP. So what we often say to people, if you're worried about your own mental health or a loved one, first step, perhaps head along to the GP and have a chat with the doctor and maybe see why you're feeling this way or how it's come to be. But you guys have that GP in-house already, and then all those other services just come linked in. I find that a huge convenience.
It is. I guess having it all in-house is important to that holistic approach around well-being. Mm. And having a GP within our Cambridge Street practice here in Townsville allows, you know, for a direct referral to our psychologists and other counselling services that we offer, and can refer back to our clubhouses, which is a mental well-being area for people to come and get together around peer support. So, you know, we are able to do a lot of internal referring to keep that holistic approach around someone's well-being.
It's not just about speaking with someone or, you know, chatting with the GPs that you do have in-house at Selectability. It's also perhaps doing some activities, and you offer those as well at Selectability. Tell me more about these art and inspiration workshops.
Yeah, so we've got a Now You See Me art project, which is really aimed at breaking the stigma around mental illness. And that's occurring. We have workshops occurring from August 11 to 22. They're free. They'll be followed up by an exhibition to occur on October 2nd. And there's a 2,000 first prize. So if anyone's interested, please visit our Selectability website, which is selectability.com.au. And I encourage all walks of life within our Townsville community to really embrace this opportunity, because we do want people to be seen in our community, be seen as, you know, this is not a stigma that needs to be part of our community. And Hitting the Hill is a perfect example of that. Mm. We're putting it out in the open. Everyone is requires wellbeing support around their mental health, and resilience is a big key to that. We all go through it. How we handle it is, I guess, the success behind it.
How are we getting in touch with you guys?
Any forms. We're on Facebook. You can contact us through our website, selectability.com.au, or just give us a call on 4724 6838.
Follow HIT on Facebook and Insta, and use the hashtag HitTheHill to join the conversation.
This is Heads Up.
Recently, we've seen more and more elite sports people publicly admit to their own mental health struggles.
Former AFL player Barry Hall, former Opals captain Lauren Jackson, and the NRL's Greg Inglis have all been open about their struggles with balancing a high-profile sporting career coupled with the pressures of trying to lead a normal life.
Headspace ambassador and Olympic gold medalist Matthew Mitchum spoke to Luke Lum about the pressures on and off the sporting arena and why so many athletes are terrified of the stigma associated with mental health.
Olympic gold medalist Matthew Mitchum created history receiving the highest score for a single dive in the final of the 10-metre platform at the 2008 Beijing Olympic Games. As a child suffering from pretty poor self-esteem, Matt almost didn't make it to the Olympics, going through a lengthy period of anxiety, depression, and addiction. I got to speak to Matt and ask him to share his thoughts on what it is about elite sports that has now seen so many athletes come out and share their stories of anxiety and depression.
I certainly remember as a teenager feeling like athletes are supposed to be superhuman, are supposed to not have any weaknesses, and I saw my experiences with depression and anxiety as a weakness. And so I didn't want to tell anybody because I had a lot of shame around that. And so that kept me suffering in silence unnecessarily for much longer than I needed to. And it stopped me from getting the help that I needed to get. In fact, there is even an argument that you might see more mental ill health in elite sport because of the massive, enormous pressures that athletes put on themselves to perform and because, you know, sport is unfortunately one of those things where very few people can do well.
I guess we sort of talk about like this bubble that elite sports people live in, and you know, it's this very controlled environment, and suddenly when they're put back into the real world, or they've got the real world feeding back to them through the means of social media and that kind of thing, where elite sports people become suddenly very accessible to everybody. Do you think that sort of contributes to any kind of mental suffering?
Certainly the issue of retirement is a big one. A lot of athletes' whole identities are wrapped up in sport, and so a lot of athletes have an identity crisis. You know, if I'm not an athlete anymore, who am I? Am I ever going to be good at anything ever again? And then the other issue that you brought up was around the connectivity, like being so connected these days, which means that there's increased scrutiny on athletes. They can't make any silly comment without it being called out straight away. Everybody is so connected that often the punishment perhaps doesn't fit the crime because, you know, sometimes things can go viral and people online can be absolutely vicious.
Coming back to yourself and your own career, how did you handle that transition when you retired, where you already had acknowledged that you had suffered from depression, and then coming out of that bubble, how did you handle your transition back into the civilian world?
Well, I started preparing for the transition for years than just a clean sort of break. Because I know after, you know, my teenage years and then having a relapse with the depression, which manifested in addiction, when it came time for me to start thinking about retirement, I knew that I am susceptible to mental ill health. I just maintained my daily mental health care that I do. And I also had other things to transition to, you know, other things to fill my time, other things to throw my passion and my intensity and my sort of, I guess, perfectionism into, you know, that otherwise would have been used in sport. I diverted it to the creative and performing arts. So, you know, I had a new goal that I was working towards, and I think that kept me going in a forward motion so that I wasn't just sitting there stagnant, feeling like my life is going nowhere and that I've got nothing to live for.
With Townsville especially, you know, rugby league, it's the heart of this town. A lot of young men especially who are striving to sort of break into that, the, you know, the Cowboys under 20 squad where they're up for selection and they're up for NRL playing contracts and whatnot, and then they don't make it, and then they really struggle with that whole idea that they're not going to be playing first grade rugby league. For yourself, at what point did you realise that there was a problem, and you know, how did you go about seeking help? Because I think for a lot of young people, it takes a long time to ask for help, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I think there's this bullshit idea that that it's shameful, that it's something to be ashamed about. Like, honestly, shame is like the most useless emotion. Guilt is kind of useful because guilt is what you feel when you've done something wrong. The shame is what you feel when you feel like you are something wrong. If it was a physical problem, like football boys would be used to, you tear a muscle or you fracture a bone, you go and get treatment for it, like you get medicine for it. With mental health, it's the same thing. The brain is an organ that needs treatment, it needs medicine, and that's how you fix it. You know, males have a higher suicide rate because they refuse to, you know, to reach out and talk about it. There are people who understand brains better than I do, better than you do, better than, you know, better than they do. These people have studied in this field for a long time. They know what the medicine and the treatment is. Why suffer with this problem?
As an ambassador for Headspace, how important is it that there is a facility like Headspace in Townsville for young people to go to? I guess they don't want to burden their family or burden their friends. Sometimes I guess it is easy to talk to a stranger, isn't it?
I remember feeling like I didn't want to burden anybody too. Then I realised that when I switched it around and thought, well, would I feel burdened if anybody came to me with that sort of stuff? I mean, I would feel quite honoured that somebody entrusted me to actually talk to me and share with me. I also have always felt that I'd rather like overshare to a stranger because I don't care what they think about me.
Yeah, I saw on your Instagram one of the things that you do to help with your mental state is the idea of this gratitude list. Every day you do a gratitude list.
Yeah, man, to keep on top of my mental health, this is one of the things that I do every day. To think of three things that I'm grateful for then sort of sets me up in a headspace where if everything in my life later that day decides to coordinate an almighty crap attack and just, you know, hit me all at once, it's not an empty blackness that I fear when I do fall into depression. Like, stuff's going to go wrong, but when I'm in a headspace of gratitude, I'm not linking those things together saying this plus this plus this means that the world sucks.
Like, that positivity promotes positivity.
Yeah, exactly. You're dealing with what you can deal with, you know, changing what you can change and accepting what you can't change and then moving on.
To hear more of Matt's incredible story about addiction and depression, his book Twists and Turns is available in all good bookstores. And if you need help with drug addiction, the Family Drug Helpline is available on 1300 368 186 and Lifeline is also available 24/7 on 13 11 14.
This is Heads Up on Hit 103.1. I
feel like I'm out of my mind. Suicide, as you know, is the biggest killer.
The biggest ever conversation about youth suicide prevention and mental health issues in the history of Townsville.
I struggle a lot.
Feeling like my life is going nowhere and that I've got nothing to live for.
Still struggled. He thought he was ugly.
Why suffer with this problem?
It's okay to not be okay.
This is Heads Up on Hit 103.1.
Year on year, the subject of mental health and suicide is becoming less taboo. One school who's been on the forefront of that is Northern Beaches State High School, a participant in Hit the Hill since its inception.
We chat to two students, Caitlin and Connor, 16 and 17 respectively, about how they've been affected by suicide, mental illness and bullying.
Have either of you been touched by suicide?
I definitely can say that I have. It is a big thing happening. Like, everyone knows about it. But yeah, I've known a few people that have passed from it.
Wow.
So yeah.
How's that affected you, Caitlin?
It has affected me a little bit because, like, you see them all the time. And like, for example, one of my friends, he passed away 2 months ago and he was all fine. He was like his normal self around us, but behind the closed doors, he wasn't, and he didn't speak to us. He didn't tell us what was going on, and he's unfortunately now gone.
How were you supported after that? Because obviously you were affected by this, and it's a really hard thing to go through. Did you get the support you needed?
I definitely did. I came and spoke to like school counsellors and, you know, Headspace and all that outside of school, so that was really good.
What would you say to a young person, and anyone, we all know that suicide doesn't discriminate, but someone who maybe in a position that, that your friend was in, what would you say to someone like that, that's struggling with those issues?
I would say, I know it's hard, but try to speak to someone about it, you know. Just opening up, even if it's your close friend, you know. Because like me, I'm very shy when it comes to speaking, like, to counsellors and all that. So even if it's just having a cry to your best friend or your mates, like, I think that would also make a world of a difference, just getting and speaking and letting all your emotions out.
With young people, do you feel like some people are embarrassed to talk about any struggle they're going through? Do you think that's an issue that we need to face?
Definitely I do feel like people do, like, everyone's different, of course, but I feel like they do, some people, like, especially myself, if I need help, I struggle a lot asking for it. I feel like we just need to find courage in ourselves to, you know, take that leap and actually talk to someone about what's going on in your life.
Obviously you did speak up. Did it work for you? Are you in a better space now?
I definitely am now that I'm spoken about. Like before, when I wasn't seeing a counsellor and it did happen, I was crying a lot, like crying myself to sleep, and, you know, I was in a really dark place. But yeah, no, ever since I'm gone counselling and that, I have been my old bubbly self.
So proof that if you do speak out and seek that help, it can be a very positive thing for your mental state.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I believe anyway.
And Connor, have you experienced any of those support systems here at the school as well?
Suicide hasn't touched me at all. Mm-hmm. However, other mental health issues, I suppose, have. Mm-hmm. They're in the family. It's hard living with it, but you get used to it after a while.
Do you feel that there are avenues you can take? Do you feel there are people you can talk to, even here at the school? Like, if you were really struggling, would you know what to do?
Definitely. Everyone's approachable in the school. Everyone knows where to go, school counsellors, office ladies, even teachers.
Yeah. There's always a listening ear.
Yeah.
Is it, like, a real moment of honesty here, is it taboo in the school? Like, if one of your mates was struggling or something and they wanted to speak to someone, would they be laughed at a little bit, or would people snigger at that? Or is it just kind of accepted in 2018 that mental health is a thing and that seeking help for it is okay?
Well, I wouldn't say you get bullied about it. I mean, in the senior years, everyone's kind of grown up a bit, they've matured, and they just accept it.
And when we look at things like 13 Reasons, I'm assuming you guys would have watched those seasons that are out now, and, you know, there is a lot of... You haven't?
No, I haven't.
You have?
I have.
Oh, I just assume that everyone has. But 13 Reasons does cover a lot of, like, really huge things that happen to the youth of today, like when it comes to cyberbullying and things like that. Are they still huge issues when you're in senior school?
Yes and no. There is still, like, for my experience, from when I was in junior school, I used to be bullied a lot, online, in person, whatnot. But from, like, from then to now, how it is so much better. Like, there's not that much drama, like, especially with us year 12s, mm-hmm. where I think it's the point that, you know, we are leaving, we are going into the real world. It's not worth it. But I do feel like when you're younger, bullying is a big thing. It is still a big thing now, but I think now it's more like the younger grades, it's more like over little things.
Yeah. Mm.
And now I think just being grown up, like at our age, I think it's mainly stuff like still the whole like looks and, you know, all of that really petty stuff.
So for the younger years, any younger people that are at Hit the Hill or listening, what advice would you give to them if they are dealing with bullying, especially when it comes to cyberbullying, where you just can't escape?
With cyberbullying, I reckon just block the haters, really. Mm-hmm. Just block them out of your life. Just speak to someone about it. If it gets real bad, just delete social media. It's not worth it. Mm. It really isn't. I get it. You want to stay connected to your friends, but there's still school. You can still hang out with them, you know. You don't need all of that hate going on in your life.
This is Heads Up on Hit 103.1.
The community response to eliminating suicide, or CAUSE, is a community-based program which educates members of the community on how to intervene when they encounter a person who they believe may be at risk of attempting suicide.
Ross Romeo, the Queensland Program Coordinator of CAUSE Queensland, teaches us how to keep an eye out for the warning signs in loved ones and what steps should be taken from there. Conversations can be hard to have or even start, but reaching out is life-changing.
Ross, tell us what exactly CAUSE is.
Oh, hi, Carly. Thanks for having me on. So CAUSE is just a community-based program. We go out and share some information with the community and educate them in a couple of steps. So basically the first one is how to pick up the early warning signs of someone who might be struggling. But then know what to do, what to say, and where to go for help at the appropriate times.
CAUSE actually does stand for Community Response to Eliminating Suicide. So together with your amazing workers and what they're doing within the community, we are hoping to eliminate suicide. So just say, Ross, I've noticed that one of my mates acting a little bit differently than usual, maybe saying no to more social invites, they're not coming out as much as they used to. Is that a warning sign that something could be wrong?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, but one of the first things that people usually stop doing is whatever it is that they enjoy and they love, they stop pulling back from that because they can feel the pressure building on them. So they'll withdraw a little bit and stop socialising stop doing those key parts and the key things that they really enjoy. So, you know, what we need to do there is firstly recognise that is a warning sign. That's one of the many warning signs. And then we need to sit them down and have a conversation with them about it and then see what we can do to help them if they need a service, a professional service, help them get to that, or just maybe just link them back into the community.
We're on air at the moment with the Queensland Coordinator of CAUSE Community Response to Eliminating Suicide, Ross Romeo. That's only one of the signs that there could be something not quite right with someone. You know, maybe there's other signs to be looking out for as well within ourselves and loved ones. What other things should we be keeping an eye out for?
Yeah, definitely. Look, it's a whole broad range because everybody's different and everyone reacts differently to what goes on in their lives. So that's one of the keys in getting some education and some knowledge in this area and to open our minds to sometimes the warning signs are really subtle, sometimes they're really extreme. But the fact of the matter is that most people who are suicidal really don't want to die. They're just in a place where they're in a lot of pain and they just want that pain to stop. Mm-hmm. But the key thing that we must always remember is that most people will give off warning signs. So, you know, it's really important that we get some education so we know what we're looking and what we're listening for.
That's right. And Ross, once we see these signs, if we do want to have that conversation with someone and reach out and ask more than, are you okay? Like, it's 2018, you know, we aren't really, for some reason, comfortable with just walking up to a friend and saying, are you okay? Like, you know, what's going on? How are people maybe doing these in a more modern way these days? Are we seeing people perhaps send a Facebook message or a text? Like, is that something that you are experiencing through CAUSE? Are you seeing people communicate like that?
Definitely, yeah. There's a whole new world out there with technology and you know, even a lot of the services are turning towards online, supplying online services rather than face-to-face or over the phone. There's terrific apps out there. The key to it all is that someone recognises a sign and someone can have that conversation, you know, whether it is face-to-face or via a message.
Ross Romeo, you are the Queensland coordinator for CAUSE Community Response to Eliminating Suicide. If someone right now listening knows that there's a loved one out there or a friend from work who may be struggling at the moment, what can they do right this second to help that person?
Yeah, well, like I said, there's lots of great services out there. One great service that's in Townsville Suicide Prevention Network. So you can jump on their Facebook page. And there's all sorts of links on there. There's lots of great services that are aligned with the network where people can go for advice as to how to handle a situation. Part of that is we've developed a great community action plan, and part of that is also that one of our goals is to train 5% of the Townsville population in suicide prevention. So, you know, whether it's our training or someone else's training, and there's lots of great training out there, is not the point. The point is that if people get out there and get this type of training happening, you know, within their workplaces, within their families. So there's people walking around that are switched on. That once they've picked up the signs, like you say, you need to have that little bit more skill to know how to have that conversation, but then know to how to link to someone into the services, because there's lots of great services there. The hard bit is getting someone to the service.
We'll take home that message right now, though, Ross, to be keeping an eye on each other, and then when we do see that something's not quite right, don't be afraid to have those conversations. Send that text. Ross Romeo, the Queensland coordinator for CAUSE Community Response to Eliminating Suicide. We really appreciate the work you guys do in the community, and we thank you so much for spending your time with us on air today.
And thank you for that great, you know, the great event. You know, things like this, you don't realise how many people you actually help. So thank you so much for what you're doing.
Young men in their late teens and mid-20s are among the most at-risk sufferers of mental illness. One Townsville mother who tragically lost her son last year is trying to turn her loss into a message of hope for other parents who may be concerned for their own kids.
By starting a Facebook page and educating herself in mental illness and addiction, Kathy Young is hoping she can help other young people in the community and their parents overcome this debilitating disease.
Luke Lum spoke to Kathy about her son Jordan and her vision of creating a safe space for at-risk people to seek help.
The Young's family story is just like any other family moving to Australia looking for a fresh start. Kathy, her husband and their two kids moved to Townsville to start a fresh chapter in their life and to get away from those cold Scottish winters.
At the time we were in Edinburgh and we had the boys. The boys were young and my husband was in the army. And we sort of looked up our options we had. So my husband applied to the Australian Defence Force and it sort of all went from there. So we moved across.
In 2017, tragedy struck the Young family. Their son Jordan, suffering mental illness, took his own life, leaving behind loving family and friends.
Jordan was a gentle soul. He was kind. He was extremely fit. He swam for the Garden Swimming Club in Heatley. He was a national swimmer. He was a state swimmer. He was very intelligent. He had lots of friends.
He was very sociable. He was out doing stuff. He loved going to the pictures. He liked to see what films were on. Bike riding. He had a car, which he loved, his car.
Unlike so many cases of people struggling with mental illness, there were warning signs for Jordan.
He ended up being in the acute mental health ward because he had mental health issues, just anxiety and depression. He went to the mental health ward and spent a bit of time in there, and then he went to the private clinic, but still struggled. He thought
he was ugly. He thought he was fat. He thought he was a burden.
He thought he was a burden on me and his dad. But he wasn't. He went out there to get help. in. I didn't expect that I would be a mum that didn't have her son.
Despite the huge emotional toll of losing her son, Kathy decided that despite her great loss, she would forge her own path to help others who were struggling and to help parents who were in a similar situation to hers.
Every day I think about him, but I decided I just don't want another mother to go through the pain that I'm going through, because it's like hell. You wake up in hell, you go to sleep in hell, and every minute of the day you're in this trap and you think it's a nightmare, but it's not. It's real. And you don't get to wake up because it's happening. So I decided I would educate myself. I would go out and see what I could do so I would have more knowledge to help. So I got myself enrolled with TAFE, and I'm doing a double diploma in mental health and alcohol and drug substances. It's going to take me 18 months. I'm doing it online, so I've got to really push myself. Some days I can't face it, but then other days I find I'm getting through as much as I can. I've took a trip up to Cairns to go and see the Mental Health Resource Centre, which runs up there, and it's run different than like your mental health down here. There's nothing like it here. It's all run by people with lived experience, so people like myself or people who's attempted to take their life, and they class themselves as coaches instead of counsellors or like psychologists or mental health nurses, anything like that. These people are coaches and they'll take time out, and the person who comes in that's needing help can choose which coach that they want to have help them. So I was wanting to set something up like that. But the only thing that I didn't like about that centre was it was only from, say, 8 o'clock until 5, and I feel that we need something in Townsville that's 24 hours.
Now with a vision of having a 24-hour mental health support service available in Townsville, Kathy hopes a facility like that would not only be beneficial to someone suffering their own mental crisis, but would help educate everybody in how to approach and support someone suffering from a mental illness.
Everyone needs to have some knowledge of how to deal with mental health. If someone come up and said to you, oh, I've got cancer, the first thing you would do, you would feel, oh my God, are you okay? If someone comes and says, I've got mental health, people tend not to do that. People tend to sort of go, oh, right, okay, and then go on with their day. And I feel that has to change, because this is an illness as well. This kills so many people, so many young people. The amount of young kids in Townsville that's taken their own life in the last year is unbelievable. And it's just, it needs to be addressed. It really does.
This is Heads Up on Hit 103.1.
Well, it's been an important, quite tense hour of conversation on Hit 103.1. But one that I think showed a lot of courage on behalf of all of our interviewees to stand up and share their stories and share how suicide has affected them and does affect Townsville as a community.
Yeah, big thank you to everyone who has shared their story, but it is such an important conversation to have. So that's why we asked everyone to share, because it starts the conversation with everyone else out there. Also to know that it's okay to ask for help if you are struggling.
there are services and they are available right now. If you're struggling or you know someone who is, Lifeline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 13 11 14.
You can also contact the Kids Helpline on 1800 55 1800, or if you prefer, you can also do the online chat.
We are Cliffo and Gabby, and this has been Heads Up for Hit the Hill 2018.
'Cause I will leave the light on.